male incontinence is the involuntary leaking of urine that happens predominantly to men, well, as they age, but also very commonly following prostate surgery, so surgery for prostate cancer.
So does it happen to men who maybe haven't had surgery for prostate cancer?
Incontinence is a very common event as we age. You only have to go into a nursing home to see the number of people that are wearing incontinence pads. And the old joke is that we start and end our lives in nappies, you know. And so incontinence is an unfortunate relative inevitability as we age.
How many men are affected by a male incontinence?
Again, it's a difficult thing to put significant numbers towards. For example, prostate cancer itself is a very prevalent cancer in the male community. It's probably it's more common than breast cancer. One of the solutions for the prostate cancer is removing the prostate gland itself. And due to the proximity of the continence muscles, they're often traumatized by the process of surgery. And so I'd say that almost 100% of men will leak some degree of urine following prostate surgery.
And that's quite normal, but how long should that leakage go on for?
For most men, it normally settles within a 12-month period. We're finding that with preoperative pelvic floor training and postoperative accurate training, we're actually able to shorten that time period considerably. And certainly with the introduction of more accurate surgical techniques, such as robotic surgery, we're finding that men are becoming drier a lot quicker.
People seem to know a lot about female incontinence, but you don't really hear much about male incontinence. Why do you think that is?
Well, I think men historically tend to have a health behaviour characteristic where if they have a problem, they dig a large hole, put their head in the sand and then cover their heads in and tend to try and ignore small problems that may kind of occur. And so what we're trying to do is educate men. In fact, they also own a pelvic floor, and if they actually exercise the pelvic floor regularly, we may be able to curb that weakening of the pelvic floor.
So what sort of exercises should men be doing to help their pelvic floor?
Men really need to know where their pelvic floor is, because it's not just one muscle that extends from front to back, but a series of muscles that coordinate together. In the early stage, it's a little bit like playing golf. There's no point in just hitting the ball hard if you don't have a good technique. So one of the things that we've been working at with some of the researchers from around Australia at the moment is looking at how do we actually target the muscles that are responsible for urethral closure, which is at the front of the pelvic floor, rather than encouraging a very familiar anal dominant sensation. Because believe it or not, most men do know how to stop themselves from breaking wind. We just choose not to on occasion.
Because with female incontinence, the exercises are pretty easy to do. They say you can do them on the bus. Is it the same with men, or do they need to see a specialist or their GP first to really get the hang of it?
Again, the thing with men is that we'll tend to follow the path of least resistance. So if you say pelvic floor and you say muscle, most men will grit their teeth and try as hard as they can to produce the outcome that they're looking for. But when that happens, what we see, the research has shown us, is that most men tend to squeeze with their anal passage, not their urethral part. And we're working on what's called transperineal ultrasound at the moment, where we do an ultrasound scan, a bit like when a woman has a baby. But we're actually looking to see what happens when the men contract the right muscles. And it's only when we get this sense of contracting the right muscles that we can then progress on to developing that muscle further as time goes by.
So your role is a physio, but men who have had prostate surgery, is this the sort of exercise that they have to go to a physio for, or is this something their urologist or GP can teach them?
The kind of research that we're involved in at the moment, or certainly at the clinic that we're at here, is very, very cutting-edge stuff. It's kind of in the process of being validated, and Australia is leading the world at the moment.
You mentioned that you're trying to encourage men to do these sort of exercises before they do go for surgery, but is there any benefit for starting it even earlier in life?
Indeed, there is, because, like I say, even if you don't develop prostate cancer and don't have an operation, the propensity for males to become incontinent as they age, the evidence is there. If you walk into a nursing home, I think it's one of the most common reasons for admission into nursing homes is actually for continence-related issues. So it always amused me that, you know, men spend a lot of time in the gym trying to work out and look good to live a long, healthy life, but they actually ignore the muscle that's going to keep them out of a nursing home. So it's kind of an interesting way that we want to think about things, is that we want to educate men earlier in life as to that they have a pelvic floor, and that if they spend a little bit of time identifying it, then they can integrate that into normal functional exercise patterns down the track.